This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for your main event, WrestleMania!
Yes, sir. Welcome back. Final hour of power here on a Tuesday afternoon. It's been a busy Tuesday so far with the Jonathan Allen news, the Marshawn Lattimore news, all the news around the NFL, the scouting combine going on, what we just talked about with Shedeur Sanders, and more. And joining us now from Indianapolis at the scouting combine, he does an excellent, excellent job for Sumer Sports, is our pal Sam Bruckhaus, who was just on with us at the Super Bowl and before that as well. I don't remember when. We had Sam on before the Super Bowl. We definitely caught up at the Super Bowl in New Orleans, or had him on, I should say, from the Super Bowl in New Orleans. Sam is always good to us. You can follow him on Twitter, X, at Sam Bruckhaus. That's S-A-M, of course, for his first name, and B-U-R-B-R-U-C-H-H-A-U-S. So double H in there, and Sam is with us here on the Team 980. What's up, Sam? How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank y'all for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, as always, for making time. Sorry about the screw-up on my end. I appreciate you being patient. Have you been to St. Elmo Steakhouse just yet on this trip?
So, look, I'm a big foodie. I don't know if people have the Belly app, but it's basically lets you rank. yeah, it lets you rank restaurants. And so I'll give you the full review here, as Mel Kiper would review a scouting prospect. You know, you go in, you get the shrimp cocktail. The shrimp cocktail, they say it's spicy. It's not spicy. It's more of a, like, let's just say that I did not know my sinuses went in certain positions
yes.
in my head.
It's a sinus buster. It's not a bracket buster. It's a sinus buster, right?
Correct. That is how poignant it is. It is no, like, hot sauce, hot wing. It's like my brain kind of hurt for about three minutes. So, enjoyed some shrimp cocktail, enjoyed some good conversation with the good folks over here at Sumer Sports, and enjoyed a good steak, you know. I can't complain too much about that, can I?
No, you can't, especially if somebody's paying for it. That's the key. Sumer Sports, sumersports.com, they do a tremendous job with all the analytical and statistical and data solutions covering the NFL. And, of course, you know, we have been very lucky. Matt's been great to us in setting us up with Sam and Lindsay Rhodes, who will be on tomorrow. And Sean Syed, of course, Thomas Dimitroff, the former Atlanta Falcons general manager, is involved as well. All right, so big picture at the Combine seems to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, not about the actual players or players that will be on the field, but am I right? Like, the number one story, just before we get to all the NFL free agency and trades and Stafford, is Shedeur Sanders not throwing? I mean, not that that was totally unexpected, but is that like the number one story that everybody's kind of chatting about?
That and a lot of other things. You know, Andrew Berry at the Cleveland Browns said that they're approaching Travis Hunter as a wide receiver rather than a cornerback. And for one of the more analytically based organizations. That was very interesting to me. You know, when it comes down to the combine, now that we have such good data like we have at Sumer Sports and like is transmitted to some of the NFL teams, stuff like the 40 and the short shuttle, it just doesn't have great correlation to production at the next level. And so its biggest value is that you can compare it to, you know, people 20 years ago. It's been more chatter and more interesting discussion, at least today, than I think will be any fireworks once people start running around a little bit on the field.
I once had, and you played college football at Tulane, I once had an NFL executive, let's just label him as that, he's retired now, say, you know, about the Senior Bowl and about the scouting combine and about the All-Star games, you know, that, and even the pro days, that because guys hadn't played college football or hadn't played football in a team setting sometimes, you know, before the 12-team playoffs since like late November, early December, you know, that there was natural rust and understandable, like, differences in their play on tape versus how they would perform in practices, say in Mobile or again workouts in Indianapolis. Do you buy into that theory in general that, hey man, guys shouldn't be punished if they go out and have a bad workout or even way elevated if they go out and somehow have a great workout in Indianapolis or in cases like this?
Well, I think it's interesting because it's very hard for us to quantify the intangibles. So if a person does prep really hard and have an excellent prep and goes out and performs, then I'm sure there's some intangible signal to that, that they'll prep really hard for practice and do a great job in camp and stuff like that in August and September. However, you know, looking at it from a more data perspective on the flip side of it, you try to get to a critical mass of volume, whether that's snaps or throws or dropbacks or rushing attempts, before you really try to make an evaluation on someone. And the fact of the matter is 140 that you've been training in a track stance in shorts and a t-shirt is not the speed when you have pounds and pounds of pads and helmets and stuff like that on. And now that we can track, you know, every single play, how fast you're running and how quick you're cutting just makes a little bit of a difference. And so the Senior Bowl, same difference. I think it is a little bit different because you're getting to see, you know, someone like a Gray Zabel go up against talent that he hasn't exactly gone up against at the FCS level versus the FBS or P5 level. So I do think there is an added value in that. But moreover, it's just tough to gain any critical mass of volume from any of these events. So I try not to put too much, you know, heed into those events.
Sam Bruckhaus, Sumer Sports, with us from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis here on the Team 980. So the player workouts haven't even begun. Obviously, this is meeting time, weights, you know, all that stuff. And more importantly, the meetings with the teams.
Right.
As you go along in your career, as I go along in mine, it seems like these are the most important thing. But also, like, you know, from a general NFL perspective and from a draft perspective, right, this is a time where league executives can get together with agents and, you know, also the players, obviously. Those are more regimented and regulated, and it becomes a big getting-to-know-you meet market as opposed to just running around in shorts and spandex.
Right, I agree. I think it's more of the kickoff to the new league year. Discussions about free agency are going on. We've had news come out about Matthew Stafford, and I know Jonathan Allen today up in Washington, discussions about that as well. And then also kind of the draft falls where it does, given that people are able to talk to their friends, maybe at different teams or agencies and stuff like that, get a little bit more information and consensus perhaps about what certain people think about things. That being said, there is some stuff to take away from the workouts. You know, this is supposed to be a great tight end position draft. Mm-hmm. The tight end position, according to our metrics, which you can find on sumersports.com in an article that we wrote last year called The NFL Combine, What Influences Production and Draft Position. The tight end position actually is the most correlated. It's not great. It's still under 50%, but it's the most correlated to, you know, the 40, the broad jump, the shuttle, stuff like that. And so for those kind of positions that are hard to evaluate or ask to do a lot of things, these do actually have a pretty good correlation with production comparatively, of course. It's still a dice roll, but it's a little bit less of it. But I agree, other than those key positions and those key workouts, it's more of a meetup and meeting of the minds than anything out here in Indianapolis.
Hey, before you joined us, Sam Bruckhaus from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, check them out, SoomerSports.com. They do a tremendous job, all sorts of content, information, podcasts, analysis, stuff you're going to love, guys, and it's all there available for you. Again, SoomerSports.com. We had a question about Jack Sawyer, the Ohio State linebacker, and team captain. And, I, first glance, I thought he played outside edge and a little bit inside too. I went back and I checked his snaps, and he's clearly more of an edge guy, much more. Is he the type of guy, A, who strongly benefited from Ohio State's run, number one? And number two, is he the guy that is more, yes, athleticism, and yes, you have to be able to play, and yes, you have to be able to get after it, but more like leadership, guts, guile, fight, bulldog kind of player that so many teams like the Commanders are looking for?
So I think, especially as a bunch of these new hired general managers have spoken on the podium today, a lot of people are trying to set the culture, and the king of culture really is Dan Quinn. He's done it now twice and built teams that can go on deep runs, particularly with defenses that people thought, you know, were a little bit, you know, not all the way there in the preseason, were able to be pretty productive. This is just a great edge class, man. And he's part of a group of guys that have either blue chip status or something that sets them apart that puts them in the first round. Right now, if you go look on SoomerSports.com, I have my mock draft up, and after about pick, you know, 13 or 14, I have as many as 4 or 5, maybe even 6, depending on how you break it, edge rushers going just until the end of the first round, the end of day one. And Jack Sawyer is certainly one of those guys that could be interesting. You know, Dorrance Armstrong was really great at the edge rushing position, but there's a lot going out of that defense in Washington, and I think he could be a great fit. I currently have Siobhan Revell, the cornerback from ECU, coming in. You know, they traded for Marshawn Lattimore. Mikey Sainer still did a pretty good job last year. I still think he's a little bit better in the slot. They struggled a lot with the cornerback position in the playoffs and the late season. I think it may be a little better fit, but I think Jack Sawyer is also an excellent edge rusher and probably a culture setter as well. You know, we saw him have, you know, massive pick six in some key games this year. And so he's another guy. I have him going just the pick after, pick 30 to the Buffalo Bills. But okay, he's definitely in that range for pick 29.
Yeah, I was just curious because, you know, you see so much of, you know, everybody sees a lot of Ohio State, and with the run that they went on, you know, just how people were evaluating. In that mock draft, the SoomerSports.com, I don't want to give too much away, but I would say yours is fairly unique, even in a world which is just crazy with quarterbacks. I don't know how many people have what you have, so I want you to explain however you want to explain it. But it's interesting because I sense that people are down on the quarterbacks this year a little bit, and maybe that's fair.
So here's the way I approached it. I approached it of a little bit of what I would do and a little bit of what I think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. You look at the Cleveland Browns. This is a very analytically inclined organization. Mm-hmm. Paul DePodesta, who was kind of a conglomerate of Jonah Hill's character in Moneyball, is in the front office there.
Right. This he was the baseball executive, if people don't know that name, at
exactly.
one point. Yeah.
Exactly. He was with the Oakland A's with Billy Beane out there and part of the Moneyball crew that was out there. And so if you're looking at it analytically, And we worked on this heavily, heavily last year as well. The way the draft curve or the value is proportioned historically, picks 1 and 2, if you draft a quarterback, on average, you're getting substantially more value than you are from a cornerback or a wide receiver, someone who doesn't have, you know, that tangible impact that we know that quarterbacks have on the game. So I think the Titans and the Browns are in an interesting position where if analytically, positional value, you want to go get a quarterback. If your scouts don't really love the quarterbacks, you're in an interesting political position because you know, you want to have full buy-in in the organization. And moreover, in terms of job security, if your most trusted advisors don't believe in the quarterbacks, you've got to go with your most trusted advisors. So let's say the consensus is that. It's going to be a tough draw for them. However, I just think it's more important to try to target a quarterback at pick one or pick two, or trade back, try to get value, much like the Chicago Bears did years ago. I didn't allow myself any trade backs in this mock draft. Want to see how that shakes out after the combine, after I get talking to some people and get an idea of who actually may be looking to trade up there. But that's why I went quarterback 1-2, because I think at some point, even if it's not the Browns or the Titans, there's going to be someone putting pressure on a front office executive or on an ownership group to go get a quarterback and solve the most important problem in football, which is who is taking snaps for you.
Yeah.
And that's why I have them 1-2.
You have Ashton Jeanty as your top running back. Not a surprise. Pick 12 to the Cowboys, Sumersports.com. Sam Brockhouse's mock draft before the combine. Again, that's not a surprise. He's been connected there. I think everybody thinks he's the number one. What do you think of the rest of this class? Because the Commanders, you know, obviously Brian Robinson's going into the final year of his deal. He was hampered with injury. Doesn't have breakaway speed. Austin Eckler's going into the final year of his deal. He was hurt a lot. McNichols is a free agent. So I think they could be higher on a running back. What do you think of the rest of this class?
So the first thing I want to say is basically since 2020, we have not seen a ton of running backs be drafted round one, round two. It's become very rare because, you know, you do go ahead and draft a running back and they immediately become one of the highest paid players in the league, particularly if you're picking them in that high, you know, first round range. And so it's a very difficult position to put your team in. It puts a lot of expectations on that running back. So typically you wait until the third or fourth or fifth round. There's a lot of good mid-round guys. Trevor Etienne from Georgia comes to mind. And then even into, you know, guys that are mocked out to be unrestricted free agents. LaQuint Allen's a guy that I really like from Syracuse who was able to catch the ball from Kyle McCord and also able to make some big plays, and including a game-winning rush against UNLV, who was a pretty good Mountain West team, pretty good G5 team that they had a good battle with. I think you can go in the middle rounds or the late rounds, go ahead and get the running backs. I know that there's been discussions of Omarion Hampton from North Carolina perhaps jumping into the first round. While I could see it happening, I think teams just kind of understand the value of the running back position at this point, and they're more willing to wait until the second, third, fourth, fifth rounds than they were even 5 to 6 years ago.
Sam Brockhouse, Sumersports.com with us. Again, follow him on Twitter, X, at Sam Brockhouse. Before I run out of time, there's a couple of other things I got to ask you. What is your best sense guess on Matthew Stafford? It looks like the Giants, Pittsburgh. Is there another team out there? I don't know, maybe New Orleans with Kellen Moore as their new head coach and kind of a mess there at quarterback that maybe jumps into the fray? What do you think there?
Yeah, so I think it has to be a team that is willing to spend cash to get a quarterback. Matthew Stafford has taken multiple kind of team-friendly deals where, you know, we'll forego this so that we can extend our championship window or something of that matter. I think he wants to be one of the highest paid players in the league. That's my understanding from this whole ordeal of him being able to go seek his value, in quotes. And it seems like the Giants are a fit. Malik Nabers, one of the top wide receivers. If you're looking for a bridge quarterback, which is kind of weird that we're calling Matthew Stafford, who's been one of the most excellent quarterbacks in NFL history at this point, a bridge quarterback, but at age 37 or age 38, that's what you want to see. Here's the problem, though. Very similar to the Aaron Rodgers situation. You have a player who took a small step back last year, was substantially more inconsistent. It led to them losing some games and ending up getting in the playoffs and getting a big victory. But I was looking at two of our metrics. The first is our play-by-play artificial intelligence Sumer score, a pretty good drop in that metric, very similar to Aaron Rodgers, 21 to 22. Also, his long accuracy, and this is something that you see go with these older quarterbacks, where not only are they not attempting long throws, but they're not as accurate.
Right.
We saw that with Aaron Rodgers
ball floats
all
a little
year,
bit, sure.
This year. And so I'm just getting a little bit worried that if you go ahead and spend the $50 million plus that it's going to take to get Matthew Stafford in cash, that you kind of got to expect what comes with age, a loss of long accuracy, especially with a guy with like Malik Nabers. I'd be a little worried about that.
Yeah. And last thing for you is the tush push, obviously, or the brotherly shove, which is, you know, again, always in the headlines. It always seems to be to rear its ugly head. You know, in this case, the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, you know, and then Mark Murphy comes out and hammers it and says it's bad for football. Listen, I understand both sides of the argument. I don't know where you come in on. Here's the thing. Just because something's successful does not mean we should ban it.
Hey, look, if no one can stop it and no one else can do it, why are we banning it?
Right,
it's so ridiculous to me. I mean, like, if Patrick Mahomes or any of these other guys could go in and get it every single time, then they'd go do it.
Yeah.
But people don't want to risk injury, and they don't want to, they can't do it at the elite level. I mean, how many times in college, just for example, do we see people try to do the tush push and it doesn't end up working out? I don't think you can ban something that is just an advantage. Like, what are we going to do next? We're just going to ban guys who are faster than other guys? I know that's a little ridiculous, but like, come on, man. Like, this is football.
Right.
This isn't, you know, poker or checkers or anything like that. Like, this is a physical game. And you look all the way back to when Teddy Roosevelt saved football in the early 1900s or whatever. Like, they did some stuff to clean it up. But it's a pretty clean game now. Allow the tush push to keep going. And because it's something unique and something that people hate. But, you know, I'm a big professional wrestling fan. Sometimes hate's good. Sometimes hate generates discussion and talk and rivalries. And if someone can come up that shuts the tush push down, then it's going to be awesome to watch, and people are going to want to watch it every week.
You know what we need to do? We need to have the Rock come out of the semi-retirement and just drop the people's elbow on somebody. That's what we need to do.
Hey. He looks like he's coming back. I don't know if you keep up.
I do. Trust me. I'm with you.
Cody Rhodes for his soul all of a sudden on national television. I don't know what's going on with that, but I'll have to tune in.
We need to put Nick Sirianni in the Elimination Chamber. That's what we need to do.
The Chamber of Elimination. That'd be interesting. You know, he likes yelling at Philadelphia Eagles fans. Maybe he'll start yelling at the fans in the Chamber.
There you go, up in Toronto. Sam, as always, I appreciate you coming aboard. Sorry about the mix-up on the scheduling. That's my fault. But I appreciate you making yourself available. Always great stuff. Again, people check out Sumersports.com for all of their coverage. But Sam's latest mock draft right before the combine here, as you just explained, is up and in detail. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
If you smell what the Sam is cooking.
Yes, sir. I love it. Love it. My guy, Sam Bruckhouse, Sumersports.com. If you smell what the Sam is cooking. There's so many different like bits and stuff, and I'm constantly finding stuff on social media and sending it to AMAC and Max just because, you know, like, I'm a wrestling fan.
You shut your mouth. I'll come out there and slap the syphilis right off your face.
You know what? That would have been great if you would have fired that for Sam. But he's our guest. We screwed up. I took that Friday night show. The Rock was just killing. I mean, it was a way too long segment. It was weird. But you shut your mouth or I'm going to slap the
You shut your mouth. I'll come out there and slap the syphilis right off your face.
Oh, I'm such a kid. I'm such an immature baby. I find that funny. I don't know. He had another one about New Orleans people being trailer park trash and all. That's just funny. All right, we're taking time out. Come on back on the T980 and the Odyssey app.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
All right, once again, thanks to Sam Bruckhouse, Super Sports, live from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. I think that's where Craig Hoffman is. He's going to come up and do his show at 4 o'clock. Back from Arizona, and I saw a picture of him in the airport, and he looked miserable, and I guess off to Indianapolis. So there you go. He'll be coming to you live from there, assuming everything works out. Again, thanks to Sam Bruckhouse. You want to check out his latest mock draft. It's interesting. Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders 1-2 to Tennessee and Cleveland at the top. I haven't seen that elsewhere. Maybe I'm missing it. But I am not very – I am not super high on Cam Ward. I think Shedeur Sanders, outside of the Deion Sanders pain in the ass factor, I think Shedeur Sanders is probably going to be the better pro. I don't feel great about that, but probably going to be the better, more reliable pro. I think Cam Ward is the better talent, but if you watch Miami games, there was some big-time inconsistency and some crushing turnovers late. Especially one against Georgia Tech. Again, that's not always the quarterback's fault, but let's just put it this way. The year that the Commanders had the number 2 overall pick, you should be thanking your lucky stars. Because if they had the number 2 overall pick this year, they might not take the quarterback. They might not have the quarterback. Certainly locked down and of the future. They got him last year. That's most important. All right, are you ready to win big and live it up in Sin City? It's the Slam Dunk in Vegas on the Team 980. Listen for your chance to win a flyaway trip to Las Vegas with 3 friends and $20,000 in spending cash. For the first 2 rounds of the college basketball tournament, you'll stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premier sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March Hoops party of them all at Stadium Swim. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, listen to the Team 980 for a chance to win in the experience of a lifetime. Listen each day for an hour to earn your daily entry. This is a national contest. More details available at odyssey.com/slamdunk. When we return, some Wizards thoughts from last night, because we got to give them their just due. They won, and they did it quite impressively in my eyes. Details on that, plus little Luka versus the Mavericks tonight as well. Let's do that coming up here on the Team 980. All right, well, we await Luka and the Lakers meeting the Mavericks tonight, his former team at 10. Of course, no Anthony Davis. He's out with an injury. Here's what else we have going on for you tonight. Alex Ovechkin, 13 goals away, as we discussed in earnest yesterday. If you missed it, hit the Odyssey Rewind and or the podcast at theteam980.com and did the first hour and a half or so on the show. He is 13 away. The Capitals hosting the Calgary Flames. They are now once again behind the Winnipeg Jets in terms of the overall number one point total in the NHL, but a chance to leapfrog that tonight. Meanwhile, and you can hear that game, by the way, starting at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Spring training ball, the Nationals back at it again today, and they are looking to go 3-0 and looking good and trying to do so. 12-7, they lead the Miami Marlins in the seventh inning. Do the Nationals. It was Young, Jacob Young, with his first home run, and Robert Hassel, who's had a massive start to the spring training, his first home run with one on, so a two-run shot. And Josh Bell in his return to the Nationals with a couple of ribbies. Again, 12-7 Nationals over the Marlins, and that's what's trending. Hey, Mac, are you a pickles guy? Like, do you like pickles at all?
You know, I did until I found out that it was once a cucumber, and that freaked me out. Like, that used to – it tastes like that.
It is a cucumber.
Yeah, no.
It's just in brine.
Yeah.
Pickled brine.
Yeah.
So you're anti-cucumber, is that
no,
what you're
No, I love cucumbers, but it's just knowing – it's like finding out how sausage is made. It's like, oh, my gosh, I don't ever want to eat that again.
Yeah, I don't I think it's a little bit of a different process, but okay, I can see that. So you will eat cucumbers, but not pickles.
I mean, anymore. you put a pickle on like a burger, sure, mm-hmm. but you just give me a pickle, I can't do it.
You won't go to the refrigerator and grab your jar of pickles that you left in there a couple months ago?
I won't do it. Before, when I was young, dumb, and ignorant, maybe. Yeah. But
well, I'm old, dumb, and ignorant. I forgot my lunch, and I just grabbed a pickle spear from a jar of Nathan's pickles that I put in the refrigerator a couple months ago. I hope they're still good. They taste fine. Maybe I should have examined before I actually poured it down the gullet. So I think I'm going to put a lid on the NFL talk for right now. I wanted to spend a few minutes on this. So last night, while I was preparing for the show and trying to read and trying to study and all that, I was weirdly riveted to the Wizards game against the Nets right here on the Team 980 and, of course, on Monumental Sports Network. Now, the Wizards won 107-99. It's their 10th win of the year, right? And they welcome in, for the first time, Denny Avdia and the Portland Trailblazers tomorrow night. Now, the Wizards' last win before last night was also against the Nets. Check this out. They've beaten for their 10 wins, they've beaten the Hornets three times and the Nets twice. Right? And then they beat the Timberwolves without Anthony Edwards, and then they lost 16 in a row twice and so on and so forth. We don't need to go through the whole schedule. But now they have 10 wins. And last night, right, to me, did you get to see any of the game, AMAC?
No.
Okay.
Fortunately not.
So, you know, listen, I can't tell you I watch every minute. I don't have the time, right? I've got a life. You know, I work out at the gym, got to cook dinner, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, plus I have no interest in watching every minute of a 9-win team, okay? No offense. In order to capture my interest, you got to do better. But last night, the Wizards had a big lead at halftime. They allowed the Brooklyn Nets to score 59 points in the first half, but they scored 67, right? So they had an 8-point lead at the half. Big, you know, certainly, that's not a big lead, but at one point they were up by like 14 or 16 or whatever. They closed. Then the Nets took over in the early to mid part of the third quarter and outscored them by 10, right? So now the Brooklyn Nets are up by 2 going into the fourth quarter. And then the Wizards take their turn and outscore them by 10 in the fourth and only allow 12 points in the fourth quarter. 12. They had allowed 20 in the first quarter, 39 in the second quarter, 28 in the third quarter, 12 in the fourth quarter. And as I was watching that game, a couple of things stood out. One, ball movement-wise was exquisite, might be strong, but was really, 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 really good. They were moving and a-grooving with the basketball. They were getting open looks. They were whipping it around the perimeter. They were doing everything that I think you could ask outside of one very important thing, which was hitting their shots. They had 26 assists on 35 field goals last night. Now, they did shoot overall for the game 50%. So that's good. A lot of that damage came in the first half and then late in the fourth quarter when Jordan Poole hit a couple of threes and whatever. They were 13 of 31 from almost 42% from three-point land. But here's what stood out to me. Besides the ball movement and getting open looks that they weren't knocking down later part of the third quarter and the, say, early to mid-ish part of the fourth quarter, again, the process was good. It's not that you can't have the results. Often people say, well, the process has to be is more important than the results. I would generally agree with that, but you have to have the results at some point. But last night, they were whipping the basketball around good, great sharing, just great ball movement, getting open looks, and again, keeping Brooklyn running all over the place. Brooklyn didn't know what the hell was hitting them. They just couldn't knock down the shots that they needed to during that sequence, or they would have won probably by 15 or 16. Instead, they won by 8, okay? And they did sort of have to come from behind to do that after the bad start, you know, first half, two-thirds of the third quarter. That was number one. Number two, Marcus Smart was awesome last night. Now, if you didn't watch the game, right, and you say, how awesome could he have been? He was 4 of 6 from the floor, 0 of 1 from three-point land, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, only had one rebound, had two assists, had one steal, two turnovers, and was a plus one for 10 points in his time on the floor. This is why numbers, analytics, and box scores don't always tell you the truth. Anybody that watched that game last night, you should be able to recognize Marcus Smart's impact right away. Anyone. His defensive tenacity, his leadership, his grittiness sparked that comeback. When the game was starting to fall apart on the Wizards defensively, he got them going. He almost took he took a charge, but they called it initially a charge, and then they overturned it on replay, which was fine, but he sacrificed his body, and then he made play after play after play defensively after that, which, again, keyed the rally. Offensively, he wasn't as, like, productive, but he was still a key cog in the comeback, okay? More importantly, I think the leadership and the defensive tenacity. I don't know if he's going to play like that every game, but that's what he's known for. That's what he's been. That's what he was for Boston when he was such a key player for them. Right? And as it turned out, he didn't even get to win the world championship with them because he was traded before last year. That's what he is. And listen, Chris Middleton is along and similar in that vein. He had 7 points last night, was a plus 16, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. He had a better statistical night than Marcus Smart in a couple more minutes. And I'm not trying to cut down Chris Middleton or Keyshawn George or Jordan Poole or Bilal, who was great in the first half and then, you know, mostly silent from an offensive perspective in the second half. But the bottom line is this. This Wizards team, again, they are playing better in the first quarters. Last night they outscored Brooklyn by 10. That was a big problem. They are staying more competitive longer and deeper into games. I know Orlando got away from them a little bit on Sunday night on the road without Marcus Smart, without Chris Middleton, without Alex Saar. They didn't have Alex Saar last night. He's been banged up a little bit here the last couple of weeks. Certainly a little bit of a concern. But the bottom line is they won a game. Granted, Brooklyn's not a good team, but they had been playing better basketball outside of the two losses to the Wizards in the last couple of weeks. I think they were 6-2, 7-2, whatever it was. The Wizards have a different mentality about them than they did just 2 weeks ago. And that's because they brought in the veterans in Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton. And the young guys are starting to elevate, starting to get more comfortable, starting to play better defense, starting to be more prepared at games, starting to figure it out along the way. And I would just say this. We've said this on the show a number of times. I've never believed that they were trying to tank or lose on purpose. They're not good. We all understand that. They've only won 10 games. They're not good. Let's start with that. They're probably worse than any of us would have thought in terms of record over the last 2 years. But the notion that they are intentionally trying to lose, intentionally trying to tank, has never made sense to me because they were far, far, far from any guarantees. Number one, it's been proven time and time and time and time again that there are no guarantees. Again, look at the Pistons. Last 2 years, worst record in the NBA. Both years wound up with the number 5 overall pick. On top of that, just because you finish with the number 1 overall pick doesn't mean the top star in college basketball that year, that draft, wants to come to you. Remember last year when Alex Saar said, not going to the Atlanta Hawks. I'll go to the Wizards, not going to the Atlanta Hawks. You keep losing and losing and losing and losing and losing, and you are a sham. Who's going to want to go to you? On top of that, why would you add Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart? Why would you add them if you were intentionally trying to lose and tank? Now, you could say they're there to help the young guys. True. You don't add those two guys if you are intentionally trying to lose or tank. In summation, I had a guy screaming at me last night, this is a terrible night for the Wizards. No, 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 stop it. Last night was a good night for the Wizards. They're still going to have plenty of lottery balls. They're still going to get screwed when it comes to the number 1 overall pick. You heard me. They're still going to get screwed when it comes to the number 1 overall pick. Last night was a glimpse. Granted, against the Brooklyn Nets, not a good team. Last night was a glimpse of what they're trying to do. Play better defense, hustle, ball movement. Find a way to stay with it. Don't get down. Keep shooting, keep going, keep efforting, keep running, keep rebounding, keep playing defense. Don't give up. And they came back and won. Granted, again, Brooklyn's not a good team. Let's see you do it against the Cavaliers or Orlando or Milwaukee. They almost beat Milwaukee the other night. The point being is, the Wizards would not be playing and have traded for Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton if they were intentionally trying to lose. And I told you 2 weeks ago after I went to the Wizards game and talked to some important people, and they brought it up to me unsolicited. Okay? They are not trying to lose. Now, you can disagree with that all you want. They are not trying to lose, period. Period. All right, coming up next, dum-dum of the day. We'll wrap up the show, make way for Craig Hoffman, who returns, and he's at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. That is coming up right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for your main event, WrestleMania.
All right, wrapping up shop here on a Tuesday in the nation's capital. Again, thanks to Sam Bruckhaus joining us live from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Craig Hoffman is scheduled next from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, so stay tuned for that. But you know what time it is. Oh, AMAC hitting it right on the nose. Take it to New York City, this via the New York Post. Alleged Wall Street brothel that advertises threesomes and other things has been busted in an undercover New York Police Department sting. But the spot says, no, it's just a mix-up. Nothing to see here. So apparently, the club is on Wall Street or near Wall Street and advertises to Wall Street executives in the financial district. Very popular. Money, all that stuff. However, in a suit that was filed in Manhattan Supreme Court, the operator of the spot called the accusations of naughty behavior misunderstanding just a misunderstanding about the quote-unquote swinger lifestyle. Now, it gets kind of weird from here. The brothel, allegedly, or the misunderstanding of the swinger lifestyle, operates where? Above a popular police bar. That's right, where police hang out and drink. Undercover officers were able to purchase illegal alcohol because they say it's a BYOB environment on their website, a lap dance, and, hey, to top it all off, sexual intercourse, which, of course, is illegal. And, of course, businesses that allow prostitution and the illegal sale and consumption of alcohol, you kind of have to have permits.
You're just a loser or a jackass. Yeah, you can exactly. Be A or B.
Exactly there, Charles. They risk aggressive legal action. That's exactly what happened here. Anyway, the long and the short of it is this place thought they were getting away with it all. And now they will be shut down. It's called Temptations. Their website has been taken down. They have all sorts of things that I can't say on the radio. Let me tell you something, people. You got to be dumber than a box of rocks to think that you're going to be able to operate something like this in 2025 without having permits, without having licenses, over a police bar. Duh! And they're just calling it a place, a gathering place for the swinging lifestyle. Are there places like this in D.C.? I'm not aware. I don't have time. I got to watch Wizards basketball. All right, Craig Hoffman is coming up next. Please join him, Anthony Haney, alongside. Great job out of AMAC today. We thank him and appreciate all of his efforts. You guys on the phones, you guys for listening. Sam Bruckhaus from the Scouting Combine in Indy with his mock draft and more. I think that's about it. See you tomorrow at 1 o'clock right here on the Team 980. Always live and free on the Odyssey app. Adios.
All right, well, thank you.
Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.